Okay, that we are on. So before we get into today's study on angels, which is going to be really exciting, we'll try to get through this material. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would use me just to communicate your truth and also just help us to pay attention to what it is that you want to reveal to us here today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's do a little test. Okay, we've been studying spiritual warfare for a couple weeks now. Okay, what are the three goals that we are trying to accomplish on this journey? Okay, I've been sharing this at the beginning of every message. If you give me one, even if it's close, I will take it. Okay, let's go Larry first. Awesome, good job. To become aware, right? This is all of this studying of spiritual warfare. You know, for some, even for the young people, sometimes it can be like, oh no, I'm afraid, I'm scared. That's not the goal here. We don't have to be afraid, but it's to just increase our awareness and understanding, okay, of really what the Bible says. Lionel, you had your hand up? You're going to say awareness? Yeah. Grace? Was it the same answer? Awesome. Good job. To have a biblical worldview. Okay? I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a stat from 2025. Okay? The Cultural Research Center of Arizona provided some statistics on the church in America, all of the United States. And they said that out of those who profess to be a Christian, only 6% held a biblical worldview. Okay, that means that 94% of self-professing Christians don't actually have a biblical worldview. Okay, and we talked about what a biblical worldview is. Okay, we've grown up with so much Sunday school teachings and, you know, Bible lessons, which are good. We don't have to throw those away. But a lot of these teachings or even our own study has not produced a biblical worldview, which is a worldview, a lens of how we see our life and the world through what the Bible says. For many Christians, they've created their own lens, their own worldview on how to live their life, but it's not rooted in Christ and it's not rooted in the Bible. So we are trying to build a biblical worldview. Understanding spiritual warfare is going to change your worldview. It's going to change how you view your own personal faith, how you view your purpose in life, and how you view even church and ministry, okay? And the third thing that we are trying to accomplish on this journey, does anybody know? Andrew?
Preparing to be equipped as a soldier.
Preparing to be equipped as a soldier, okay? That is what we are trying to become and grow as, soldiers of Christ. Okay, we know which side of the war we stand on as Christians. We're learning about who our enemy is because we do have a real enemy. We are learning that as Christians, we are soldiers because there is a war, there is a battle that is taking place in the world. There is a battle for our own growth spiritually, and there is a battle that is going on for people's souls around us, okay? And we have a choice to either be engaged in that war and battle or to just simply disconnect ourselves and to say, well, I just want to go about my life and watch TikTok videos about cats. Okay, that's going to be all of our own choices, right? As to how we want to live our lives and what we want to commit our lives to. But we are trying to be equipped as soldiers, okay? So hopefully you accept these goals as we go on this journey. We should all be asking God, please help me to become equipped as a soldier. Please help me become more aware of spiritual warfare. Please help me, God, to have a biblical worldview, because I want to have a mindset that is rooted in the Bible, okay? So, as we go into this study on angels, okay, I just pray that you love the truth, okay? That you love truth. That truth is not simply something that is just entertaining to you. I know that for the first time you're hearing about things like the Nephilim, about how Satan fell from heaven, about fallen angels, about demons. And today we're going to learn about angels, okay? And I know it's probably not what you think. In many ways, it's not the imagery that you've kind of grown up with. But we're going to just learn a few things about angels. And then towards the end, we'll see how it applies to our life, okay? So we'll start with the seraphim. Okay, in Isaiah 6, it says, attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Okay, so we have to try to imagine this. We have to kind of leave this basement and, you know, try to be like, woo, kind of teleported to imagine what it's like in heaven right now. Okay? What it's like in the throne room of God. These very angelic beings exist. And what is it like in the heavenly realms? Well, for seraphim, they're throne guardian angels who guard the throne of God. Okay, if you're a Christian and you genuinely love Jesus and you've surrendered your life to Christ and you make it to heaven one day, then you will probably see seraphim, okay? Because they guard the throne of God and make sure no rebellion comes near him. Okay, so what was the first rebellion that we talked about? Who tried to approach God and his throne originally? Samuel. Lucifer. And he had one third of the angelic creation with him. Well, who do we think was helping to guard that throne? It was these creatures. Now, I know, they look kind of weird, right? Just eyes and wings. But these angelic beings, these angels, guarded the throne room of God. So if Lucifer, as a beautiful angel, tried to approach God, he's probably going to run into a few of these guys, right? Because they're guarding God's throne from any rebellion. Okay, second bullet point. They exist in a constant state of adoration, surrounding God's throne with an unbroken roar of reverence. The name derives from the Hebrew word seraph, meaning to burn, often interpreted as burning ones due to their intense fiery nature and closeness to divine light. Okay? So, this is a type of the angels, seraphim. Let's go to the cherubim now. Okay? This is a bit of a long scripture in Ezekiel 1. But let's just read a few parts of it. Okay, verse 4, it says, as I looked, I saw a great storm coming from the north, driving before it a huge cloud. that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was fire inside the cloud, and in the middle of the fire glowed something like gleaming amber. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that looked human, except that each had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet had hooves like those of a calf and shone like burnished bronze. Under each of their four wings, I could see human hands. So each of the four beings had four faces and four wings. The wings of each living being touched the wings of the beings inside it. Each one moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Each had a human face in the front, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle at the back. Each had two pairs of outstretched wings. Okay, we kind of get the picture. Let's go down to verse 13. The living beings looked like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches, and lightning seemed to flash back and forth among them. And the living beings darted to and from like flashes of lightning. Okay? It's quite the description and picture. This is the best that Google can come up with. Okay? And it's probably not even close to maybe what these angels look like. Okay? But they most likely look like this. But just think about what's being described here. Okay? In terms of the voices, what they look like, and they move like lightning. They flash back and forth, and the living beings darted to and from like flashes of lightning. Okay, now I know this is gonna seem weird to a lot of you guys, but yesterday during the youth fellowship, I shared a video with them just to kind of get them thinking a little bit. And if you don't know already, well, I'll share it with you, but the video was Trump openly saying that UFOs and there are alien creatures that exist in the universe. Okay? Now, he released files, classified files, and videos and images. So when I showed the video to the youth, most of them said, well, it's probably just AI, or they created the video and it's not real and it's fake. Now, I'm not standing here saying that I believe in aliens. Or like, you know, green creatures that are going to come down from space. But I do believe in fallen angels. I do believe in demons. I do believe in these types of angels. So I do believe potentially that also the unseen realm can interact with our physical realm. So when you see images on the internet of objects that appear and then they're gone like in an instant, and when people, high-ranking officials in the government, describe ships or technology that are moving at speeds that our scientists and physicists can't explain, they're like stopping immediately and then shooting to the left, shooting to the right, shooting back up into the sky. I don't know what all that is, but I think potentially it could be angels. It could be fallen angels. It could be spirit beings or angelic beings that are coming and interacting in our physical realm. And just like the Bible says, they appear and then they dart away like a flash of lightning. And you don't even know what they are or what it is. And I believe that people are seeing these types of things. And so one thing that I asked the youth, I said, okay, we've talked about the Nephilim. We've talked about the Genesis 6 story, which again, you guys are like probably 2% now of the Christian population who has a good understanding of the Nephilim and Genesis 6. That there were these angels that came down from heaven, crossed a boundary line that God created, and had sexual intercourse with human women and created this hybrid generation called the Nephilim. Okay? These angels were tall, powerful, very supernaturally looking, maybe even like the cherubim, looked a little bit like that. So I asked the youth yesterday, how would you feel and what would you do if these angels came down to earth again in our lifetime or in the future? It's happened once. And do you know that the Bible actually says in Revelation that it's going to happen again? The Bible actually describes it as monsters coming down from the heavens and touching down on earth. It's probably not going to be a, hey, I'm here to help you type of touching down. It's going to be more of a rebellion towards God and the church. But how would you feel? Are you ready for something like that? Are you prepared for something like that if these angelic beings were to come down to earth again and to appear and to have a conversation with humanity? Right? It's something to think about. And this is not me just saying that. It's actually just Bible. It's scripture. Okay? So let's talk about the cherubim. Okay, the cherubim are powerful, high-ranking celestial beings. I'm at the top of page 19. In Judeo-Christian tradition, frequently depicted as guardians of sacred spaces, such as the Garden of Eden and the Ark of the Covenant, and as attendants to God's throne. They are described in the Bible as having four faces: human, lion, ox, eagle, and four wings. Cherubim serve as guardians of holiness and God's glory, representing direct contact with God. In Ezekiel, they are described as carrying or transporting God's throne. Ezekiel 10 describes the wings of the cherubim being so powerful that it epitomizes the voice of Almighty God. Okay, Ezekiel 10 says, the moving wings of the cherubim sounded like the voice of God Almighty and could be heard even in the outer courtyard. So that's kind of cool. That's then when the wings of these angels move, it's like the voice of God himself. And that's a pretty, you know, crazy statement that the voice of God could be the same as the wings of these angels moving, okay? All right, let's learn about the archangels. Okay, in Daniel 10, it says, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Okay, if you've never read Daniel 10 before, it's a great study to do, the book of Daniel. This is not a physical description that is taking place in Daniel 10, but it's a spiritual description that is taking place. Okay? But we have a mentioning here of Michael being the archangel. So if we understand archangels, they are angels of war involved in very specific conflicts. Okay, so these guys are different. They're not guarding the throne. They're not protecting the throne. These are dudes that, like, if God needs somebody to go do some damage in the unseen realm or to, you know, have a specific mission, God is calling Michael to go and do a mission. And they're specifically meant to go to war. Okay? So, for these types of angels, these angels are superior to other angels and are involved in fighting against high-ranking demonic and fallen angelic beings. Some of the main archangels mentioned in the Bible are Michael, the warrior and protector, and Gabriel, the messenger of God. Okay? So those are archangels. Then we have, let's turn over, page 20, messenger angels. Okay? This is like Gabriel. When he appeared to Mary, he came to bring a message, right? He appeared to Mary, he appeared to Joseph. Messenger angels come with a specific type of message. And this is your homework for this week. I want you to go and read Daniel 10. Okay, we're not going to get into it too much here today, but in Daniel 10, there's a very specific situation and story that is happening where Daniel is trying to seek God for wisdom. And there's a battle that is happening in the unseen realm. And God sends a messenger angel to try to deliver a message to Daniel, but in the unseen realm, most likely a fallen angel prevents the messenger angel from reaching Daniel in the time period that he needs to in order to get this message to Daniel. Okay, so for us, we have to think, okay, when we pray, it's actually a spiritual battle that is happening. We're praying, we're asking God for wisdom, we're asking God for clarity, we're asking God for direction. Sometimes maybe, I don't know if you've experienced this, but maybe you feel confused, maybe you feel tired, maybe you don't feel like praying. Well, that's a spiritual battle that is taking place. Okay, it's not just you trying to pray to God. There are actually probably demons and fallen angels in the room that are trying to prevent you from fellowshipping with God and connecting with God and having a close, intimate time with God. It's biblical. It's not something strange. It happened to Daniel. It happened to many people in the Bible, including Jesus himself, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's going to happen to us as Christians as well. Okay? Let's go down to the middle of page 21. Ephesians 1:19 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Okay, so in understanding angels, we need to understand something and be reminded of something. Jesus is above them all. He is the most powerful person in this spiritual realm. Okay, and the Bible says that every ruler in the unseen realm, every authority, every power, any leader, he is far above them. Okay, and not only in this present world, but also in the world to come. Jesus is going to be victorious over every fallen angel and demonic spirit. Okay, and so we know that Christ is above all. Okay, let's go to the bullet point below Colossians 1. We also know through Scripture that Jesus is superior to and victorious over every demonic ruler or authority because of what was accomplished on the cross. Okay, Colossians 2 said, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Okay? So what happened on the cross? Well, Christ disarmed every spiritual ruler and authority. So they are fighting now to try to claim back what they believe belongs to them, but ultimately their power has been disarmed. But for us as Christians, we need to learn how to exercise that power and authority that we have in Jesus. And that is something that will come up later in the study. Okay? Let's go to the last type of angel and probably the most interesting. Okay, on the top of page 22, they're called undercover angels. Okay? In Hebrews 13, it says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Okay, when we are hospitable and kind to others around us, we really welcome Jesus and perhaps also angels. Abraham and Lot are examples of those who unintentionally entertained angels. Okay, and you could read Genesis 18 or 19 to get more information on that in your own study time. This scripture also reminds us of a simple and practical way that brotherly love can continue in the body of Christ. Hospitality is an important value, and it is often commanded of Christians and leaders throughout the Bible. Okay, Romans 12 says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. 1 Timothy 3, this is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. Okay, 1 Peter 4, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Okay? Hospitality is something that we should be showing as believers. But it is extremely challenging. It's extremely hard. Why? Because our homes are kind of like our space, right? It's our place to just be ourselves and to let loose and relax. And yet the scripture encourages us to be welcoming to others in our home, to be willing to share our home with those who are in need, to not only just think of our homes as a place for us, but to know that it belongs to God and it is there if others need it. Okay? There are times in our lives where my wife and I, we've welcomed people into our homes. Okay? Sometimes young people have stayed with us for like 6 months to a year, living in a separate room, and we are there with them. It's extremely challenging, but we feel convicted about this scripture, that when there is a brother or sister in Christ who is in need, as the church, we are the ones who are to be showing hospitality and be willing to welcome other people into our home, even if it's uncomfortable or inconvenient for us, that we work through those things together, okay? And so hospitality is something that is important, okay? In the ancient world, okay, when we talk about hospitality, in the context of the ancient world, okay, they had something like hotels, right, that existed. And these hotels were notorious for immorality. It was important for traveling Christians to find open homes from other Christians who offered hospitality during their journey. Because of this command of hospitality, Christians had to watch out for people just masquerading as Christians so they could leech off the generosity of God's people. As time went on, Christian leaders taught their people how to recognize these deceivers. On the point of strangers, we are called to show love and hospitality to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you invite your best friends over for lunch, that is wonderful, but it doesn't fulfill this command. A wonderful way to fulfill this command is to meet and befriend strangers at church and to entertain them with hospitality. The ancient Greek word for hospitality is literally translated love for strangers. Brotherly love means love for all our brothers and sisters in Jesus, not just those who are currently our friends. Okay? So hospitality is extremely challenging because the scripture calls us to do it not just with our friends, but maybe with people who we don't necessarily know, or people we're getting to know in the church, or someone who's new to the church, and we invite them over for dinner, or we invite them over for brunch or lunch or a coffee or whatever it is. It's an opportunity to build relationship and to get to know people. And this is why the scripture calls us to show hospitality. Okay? So now, back onto the point of undercover angels. And we'll conclude with this. Now, we as a society are really good at ignoring suffering. Right? We're really good at ignoring the poor or walking by people who are in need. Okay? I've done it, and I know that you guys have done it. Okay? Where someone might be begging for money, someone might be asking for food. We see people on the street corner and they have the signs up. We are just caught up in life. We're caught up in our own busyness. We don't have time to stop and have a conversation with those type of people. Many times we don't have time to stop and ask them, how are they doing? Or what do they actually need? Or how can we help? Okay? There's times where I know absolutely Holy Spirit has convicted me to get out of my car and to talk with people and to buy a meal for them or to give them a gift card. But there are many times too where I have just driven by or ignored the suffering or the poor that is taking place. Now, the interesting thing that the Bible says is sometimes when we have shown hospitality to people or even given to people or met a need, we've entertained angels. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe some of these poor individuals, maybe sometimes according to the Bible, could be an angel. It could be someone coming across our path, interrupting our day. Maybe it's a test. A test to see how we will respond. A test to see what we will do. Right? It happened to Lot. It happened to Abraham. Where all of a sudden these guys show up at their house and Abraham's, hey, let me cook you a meal. Right? Come over, let me cook you a meal. And they ended up being angels. Right? And so what the scripture is encouraging us to do is to make the most of the opportunities that we have to give towards others, to show hospitality to others. When we get to heaven, we will probably find out, right? Our whole life is going to be on display. There is not going to be a moment that we are not going to know about. And Jesus may just simply say, hey, remember when you were driving to that place to meet that friend and that person kind of stopped you on the side of the road? Yeah, that was an angel. Or that was like me. Or I sent that angel to kind of just see what you were going to do, right? We're going to know all these things. I'm curious to see how many angels I rejected when I get to heaven. It's not going to be a, you know, heaven or hell thing. It's just going to be a simply, hey, missed opportunity, right? And it's something for us to think about. And so the point that the scripture is trying to make is don't forget to show hospitality to strangers specifically. And the Bible says that when we've done this, some of us have entertained angels without realizing it, right? And it's not for us to figure out, hey, could that be an angel or not? But I think it's more just to take to heart hospitality is something that is important to God, and it should become something that is important to us. Okay? So we learned a little bit about angels, and this is not the entire angelic creation, but this is probably most of the ones that you will encounter when you read through the Bible. We have seraphim, cherubim, archangels, messenger angels, and undercover angels. Okay, these are the main angels that are mentioned throughout scripture. So, we're going to talk about the discussion questions during small groups. Okay, and next week, we're going to transition. This is kind of like just introductory type of stuff. But next week, we're going to actually get into the heart of spiritual warfare now. Okay, we're going to understand where demons come from. Okay, we're going to start to understand, hey, what exactly are demons? Can I, as a Christian, have a demon or be influenced by a demon? The answer is yes, you can be influenced by a demon. You can open up your life and this temple of God to demonic influence. We're going to understand how, and then we're going to also understand that if we have, then there may be a need for healing. There may be a need for deliverance. Because sometimes the things that we do, especially sinful things, may be influenced by demonic spirits, not necessarily by our own free will or the will of Holy Spirit. Okay, and so we're going to start to understand what this actually means for us. It's going to be, I think, probably the more challenging part of the study, because it's going to cause us to look inward at ourselves and to take our own faith seriously. Okay? And so it's something to look forward to, but that's what's coming up, and we'll get into that starting next week. Okay? So let's pray. Today was a lot of just information, but let's just pray together to close it off. Father, we thank you for giving us wisdom through your word that we can learn about angels. We can learn about things like hospitality and showing hospitality towards others. God, I know that this was just simply a lot of information, but I pray that you would just continue to fill us with a desire and a hunger for truth, God. We are in a very interesting time, God, and we are starting to see things in Revelation start to come true. And God, it's a time for us to really just build up our faith, to make our faith strong. Because there is a time of deception, there is a time of testing, and there is a time of persecution that is coming. And you desire for us, God, to just be grounded and rooted in your word. Father, I pray that none of us will fall away from you or fall away from truth when these things start to happen and take place in the world around us. But I pray that we would take the time now that we have it, God, to be urgent in investing in knowing your truth, God, in knowing your word, and grounding our life in the Bible and building that biblical worldview. So God, I pray that you would continue to reveal truth to us. And I pray that you would continue to teach us what is right and what is true, so that we won't believe in the lie when those lies begin to become more amplified in the world around us. In your name we pray. Amen.